The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the January edition of Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from BBC.com, Food Network Magazine, Yahoo.com, and the NewYorkTimes.com. Starting off, blind cooking, 10 tips from chefs. This is from BBC.com. Christine Ha, who is 33 and gradually lost her vision over a decade, made it to the final 18 of the MasterChef competition after impressing the judges, who include Gordon Ramsay. Ha says she has to depend a lot more on the other senses to cook: taste, smell, and how ingredients feel at different stages of cooking. To taste everything and to know how a perfectly cooked steak or fish fillet feels is useful advice for any cook. So in what other ways do blind chefs manage? Number one, hazelnuts top left. On MasterChef, Ha is allowed an assistant to guide her around the unfamiliar kitchen and collect ingredients. Other than that, she is expected to follow the same rules as her sighted rivals. But when cooking at home, she has no need for such assistance. Like many blind cooks, she knows her own kitchen inside and out, and everything is always put back in its place. Tom Lewis, head chef at Monachile Moor in Perthshire, remembers the need for strict organization from when his mother Jean ran the restaurant's kitchen. She started it after losing her vision, and it was a smoothly run operation. You have to put ingredients back in the same place each time, he says. In Mom's kitchen, everything was as it should be. Hazelnuts in the top left of the pantry, sugar bottom right. Number two is audio labeling. Many of the men and women that cookery expert Sue Pallett advises at online blindness community, the Accessible Friends Network, are not able to memorize the entire contents of their pantry, and so must find a non-visual way to label items. Blind from birth, Pallett uses Braille labels, but over the years she has developed a number of strategies to help others to identify their ingredients. If there are two containers which feel exactly the same, some people will put an elastic band on one and a piece of sticky tape on the other. Or tactile magnetic letters can be useful, particularly when labeling tins. More high-tech options are available, allowing the blind cook to record an audio message on a special label which is then attached to the container. As well as identifying the contents, this message can also include additional information, such as use-by dates and cooking instructions. Number three, listen to the sponge cake. Smell, taste, touch, and even hearing are used by blind cooks to identify similar ingredients. Using icing sugar instead of corn flour, for instance, would have disastrous consequences for a dish. Pallett, who teaches blind people how to cook, says that if you have a refined sense of hearing, it is sometimes possible to tell that a sponge cake is done when it stops ticking or sizzling. She is keen to point out, however, that this is not by any means a foolproof method and that timing is more reliable. As blind cooks, we are not able to continually open the oven door and check whether a cake is done, so I use a timer. When the time is up, I press my fingers down lightly on the top of the cake, and if it springs back easily, then it is done. Baking guru Mary Berry also recommends this method. Number four, smell the garlic. My sense of smell has really come into play since I lost my sight, says Ha, who writes the food blog Blind Cook. I know when garlic is just fragrant enough and when it is going to tip over to being too burnt or bitter. With a pan on the stove, I add some water, and if it splashes in a certain way, I know that it is hot enough for whatever I am cooking. Number five, mark the temperature dials. Pallett uses small, brightly colored pieces of sticky-backed rubber clamp rubber called bump-ons. They come in many shapes and sizes and can be stuck onto anything, including the temperature dials of cookers and timers. Then all the blind cook must do is line the cooker knob's edge up with them. Excuse me. Have a chopping system. Preparing vegetables requires the right tools and a good technique, says Pallet. Have a chopping system. Preparing vegetables requires the right tools and a good technique, says Pallet. Choose a short-bladed, unserrated kitchen knife with an ergonomic handle and a good chopping board. Blind foodie Neil Barnfather adheres to a strict system for preparing vegetables, especially while hosting dinner parties, and his favorite kitchen utensil is his knife sharpener. A sharp blade is essential for chopping accurately. When chopping, I tend to put the unchopped on the left, work in progress in the middle, and finished on the right. This saves time and avoids confusion. Number 7, saucepan, not frying pan. Another aspect of cooking which could be considered risky, if you can't see, is working with hot oil. Pallet has found a way around this problem. Instead of a frying pan, she uses deep-sided saucepans. If you fry in a saucepan, everything is contained really well, and nothing is going to fly out over the top and cause a mess. I use a long-handled, heat-resistant, slotted spoon to slide underneath the ingredients, gently turn them over, and spread them out again. I always face my saucepan handles to the same side. That way, I know where they are, and there's no chance of me knocking a hot pot off the hob, which I think in British speak is the stove. Number 8. Carry as little as possible. When serving a meal to guests, Neil Barnfather's secret weapon is a hostess trolley. It keeps food warm so that I can cook one thing at a time. It also saves me having to carry a loaded tray through to the dining room, which, with a young family or guests moving around, might not be a safe thing to do. He also draws the line at serving gravy to guests at the table, opting instead to leave it on a heated serving plate in the center so that they can do it themselves. Number 9. Use talking gadgets. All three cooks use various gadgets to get the job done. Many of these are regular pieces of equipment which have been repurposed. For example, unable to go down the usual road of checking his meat by seeing if the juices run clear, Barnfather uses a meat tenderizer, which looks like a mini cheese grater with a hammer-like handle. If, when pushed into the meat, it springs back easily, then the meat is cooked. I use oven mitts, which go much higher up my arm than regular mitts, so that I don't burn the inside of my wrist when taking things in and out of the oven, says Ha. She also has a talking meat thermometer with her in the Master Chef kitchen to ensure that her food is fully heated through. This is just one type of specialist equipment for the visually impaired, sold by blind charities such as RNIB. When measuring ingredients for cakes and pastries, all three cooks rely on hearing to use their talking weight scales. These devices speak measurements in a slow, clear voice as ingredients are added to the bowl. For liquids, Neil Barnfather says that the talking measuring jugs available are not nearly accurate enough to use. Instead, he remembers how much each of his jugs contains and places a clean finger on the inside of the container as he pours. And number 10, serve up using a clock face. Like many blind people, Barnfather thinks of the plate as a clock face and divides it into quadrants. I like to know that my meat is at 12 o'clock, vegetables at 3, and potatoes at maybe 6 o'clock. He takes mental notes on presentation and plate layout when eating in restaurants so that he can tap into current trends when cooking for guests at home. To serve, he plates up the meat or fish first and then arranges side dishes around it. An ice cream scoop provides invaluable for neatly serving mashed potatoes. Now I've got a recipe which, for me, sounds good in our chilly weather for January. Cincinnati turkey chili. it's called, and it's from Food Network Magazine. 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 1 onion finely chopped, 2 cloves of garlic finely chopped, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 1 1/4 pounds of ground turkey, 1 tablespoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of unsweetened cocoa powder, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 28-ounce can of crushed tomatoes, 8 ounces of spaghetti, and 1 cup of finely shredded sharp cheddar cheese, about 4 ounces. Bring a large pot of water to a boil. Meanwhile, heat the olive oil in a large, wide pot or Dutch oven over medium-high heat. Reserve 1/3 cup chopped onion and add the rest of the onion and the garlic to the pot. Season with salt and pepper. Cook, stirring until softened, 3 to 5 minutes. Add the turkey and cook, breaking it up into small pieces until cooked through, about 3 more minutes. Add the chili powder, cinnamon, cocoa powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and a few grinds of pepper. Cook, stirring until the spices are lightly toasted, about 1 minute. Stir in the Worcestershire sauce, then add the tomatoes and 1 cup of water. Bring the chili to a simmer. Cook, stirring occasionally and adjusting the heat as needed to maintain a steady simmer, until the sauce reduces slightly, about 20 minutes. Meanwhile, salt the boiling water, add the spaghetti, and cook as the label directs for al dente. Then drain. Season the chili with salt and pepper. Divide the spaghetti among shallow bowls and top with the chili. Sprinkle with the reserved onion and the cheese. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about how much you will pay more for these food items in 2022 from Yahoo.com. With no end in sight regarding supply chain disruptions and inflation on the rise, consumers should brace themselves to expect higher food prices for everyday staples starting in 2022, from coffee to mustard and from Oreos to Jell-O. Indeed, the Wall Street Journal reports that food prices are estimated to rise 5% in the first half of 2022, according to research firm IRI, though the level of increase will vary from store to store and from region to region. These numbers reflect the Consumer Price Index, also known as the CPI, as the All Items CPI, a measure of economy-wide inflation, was up 6.8% from November 2020. Additionally, food prices were 6.1% higher than in November 2020, according to the Labor Department. The level of food price inflation varies depending on where the food was purchased. The food away from home, restaurant purchases, CPI increased 0.6% in November 2021 and was 5.8% higher than November 2020. By contrast, the food at home, grocery store, or supermarket purchases, CPI, increased 0.3% from October 2021 to November 2021 and was 6.4% higher than November 2020. Vegetables, snacks, beer, and wine will be more expensive in 2022. Anticipated price increases in 2022 range from 2% to 20%, hitting all sections of the grocery store, including produce and packaged goods, according to the Wall Street Journal. Vegetables with the highest predicted price tag bumps include potatoes, celery, and other heavier vegetables, in part because of higher freight costs, supermarket executives say, per the Wall Street Journal. In addition, wine, beer, and liquor are also likely to get more expensive, especially those that are imported. The Wall Street Journal adds that pantry staples, such as mayonnaise and frozen meals, are expected to be pricier, partly because of higher labor, logistics, and packaging costs, according to industry insiders. Mondelez International, whose brands include Chips Ahoy, Ritz Crackers, Oreo, and Philadelphia Cream Cheese, said recently that it would be raising prices for certain products by 6% to 7% starting in January, according to a Motley Fool transcript of an investor call. We have also taken and announced price increases across a significant number of markets. Of note, we announced a new round of pricing last month in the U.S., which will go into effect at the start of next year, Luca Zaramella, chief financial officer, said on the call. So we have announced that for biscuit, and on average, that's the number, we are going with gum candy as well. Halls will be a little bit later in the cycle, but all in all, it's going to be very close to the 6%, 7%. Other companies intending to hike their prices include Kraft Heinz, including products such as Jell-O pudding and Grey Poupon mustard, with some items going up as much as 20%, according to a memo viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Now I've got the two-year health column from Food Network Magazine. Early bird special. Eating before 8:30 a.m. could reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes, according to new research from the Endocrine Society. In the study, early eaters had lower blood sugar levels and less insulin resistance. Make an easy early morning breakfast. Spread scallion or veggie cream cheese on toasted pumpernickel bread. Top with smoked salmon, baby arugula, and a squeeze of lemon, seasoned with pepper. And here's a case for cocoa. A cup of hot cocoa could help lower your risk of stress-induced cardiovascular issues. Researchers at the University of Birmingham in England found that study participants had better blood vessel function under stress after consuming a cocoa drink, thanks to the flavanols in the cocoa. Make a mug and relax. And here's a recipe for that simple hot cocoa. Bring 4 cups of milk to a simmer, then whisk in a mixture of 3/4 cup sugar, 1/2 cup sweetened cocoa powder, and 1/2 cup unsweetened cocoa powder, very important, and 4 ounces finely chopped bittersweet chocolate. Simmer, stirring until smooth and thick. Looking good. Eat more leafy greens, then flex your muscles. According to a new study published in the Journal of Nutrition, people who consume a diet high in nitrates from vegetables like lettuce, spinach, and kale have better muscle function. Get your fill of sautéed greens. And in season, blood oranges. The crimson fruit not only looks cool, it's extra good for you, too. Blood oranges are packed with vitamin C like other citrus, but they also have high levels of anthocyanins, pigments with powerful antioxidant properties. Add blood oranges to a winter fruit salad recipe. And now for a fun recipe, pink grapefruit sugar cookies. And this is also from Food Network Magazine. Soft grocery store style cookies get a makeover in Jesse Zwizik's Bookie Cookies, the new classic. Fresh grapefruit zest keeps the cookies zippy and offsets the sweetness of the fluffy frosting. Use a little gel food coloring, or a lot, in the frosting to customize your shade. Cookies, 2 3/4 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of cornstarch, 3/4 teaspoon baking powder, 3/4 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of diamond crystal or 1/4 teaspoon of Morton kosher salt, 2 teaspoons of finely grated grapefruit zest, 1 cup of granulated sugar, 1/2 cup, which is 1 stick, of unsalted butter at room temperature, 1 large egg, 1/3 cup of sour cream at room temperature, and 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract. And I'll read you the directions for the cookies, and then we'll get to the frosting and assembly. Okay, for the cookies, place racks in upper and lower thirds of oven. Preheat to 350 degrees. Whisk together flour, cornstarch, baking powder, baking soda, and salt in a medium bowl. Using an electric mixer on medium speed, beat the grapefruit zest, sugar, and butter in a large bowl until light and fluffy, about 3 minutes. Add egg, sour cream, and vanilla, and beat to incorporate about 2 minutes. The mixture might look curdled, and that's okay. Reduce speed to low and beat in the dry ingredients until just combined. Using a cookie scoop that's about 2 tablespoons in size and working one at a time, scoop out portions of the dough and roll into balls. You should have about 24. Divide between 2 parchment-lined baking sheets, spacing at least 3 inches apart. Gently flatten cookies to about 1.5 inches in diameter. Bake the cookies, rotating the baking sheets top to bottom and front to back halfway through until edges are light and golden but tops are still pale, 11 to 13 minutes. Let cookies cool 5 minutes on baking sheets, then transfer to a wire rack and let cool completely. And here's a do-ahead. The cookies can be baked 5 days ahead. Store airtight at room temperature. And now for the frosting. Frosting and assembly. 4 cups of powdered sugar sifted. 1/2 cup of heavy cream. 1/2 cup, which is 1 stick, of unsalted butter at room temperature. 1 teaspoon of finely grated grapefruit zest. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of diamond crystal or 1/4 teaspoon of Morton kosher salt, red or any color gel food coloring, and sprinkles for decorating. Alrighty, using an electric mixer on low speed, beat the powdered sugar, cream, butter, grapefruit zest, vanilla, and salt in a large bowl until combined. Increase speed to high and beat until light and fluffy, about 3 minutes. Using a toothpick or skewer, add a small drop of food coloring to the frosting, then beat to combined. Spoon 1 heaping tablespoon of frosting onto each cookie. Use a spoon or offset spatula to create swirls. Decorate cookies with sprinkles. And here's the do-ahead. Cookies can be frosted and decorated 2 days ahead of time. Store airtight at room temperature. Next up, from Food Network Magazine, Inside the Test Kitchen. The chefs dish out tips, tricks, and cooking hacks. All right, let's hear it for bison. Swap in ground bison for beef once in a while. Bison is leaner, plus it's high in iron, zinc, and protein. There's an environmental upside, too. Grass-fed bison produce less greenhouse gas than cattle. Try your bison meat in a burger. Some say bison is slightly sweeter. How to sear tofu. The key to crispy tofu is removing the excess water. Drain the tofu well. It's usually packed in water. Then cut into pieces and press between paper towels to soak up as much moisture as possible. Any remaining water should evaporate as the tofu cooks. Just make sure you wait to flip it until after it releases from the pan so you get a great crust. Shortcut of the month. Pork katsu curry recipe developer Ji Yoon Jackie Park started with a block of curry mix, a compressed brick made from fat, flour, and a combination of spices like curry powder, cumin, cardamom, cayenne, and turmeric. Add to a simmering broth, for a super simple curry sauce. And here's a tool tip. Recipe developer Melissa Gammon has to open a lot of jars for her job, and she's a big fan of the jar key. Just fit the prong under the lid and lift up to break the vacuum seal. Then the jar is a cinch to open. And here's the backstory on the Cincinnati chili recipe I gave you. This cult favorite Midwestern dish, a thick Mediterranean spiced chili, is most famous for how it's served, over a bed of spaghetti, though plenty of fans eat it on hot dogs too. Macedonian immigrants first served it at an Ohio restaurant in the 1920s. The recipe I read you is made with turkey and served four ways: spaghetti, chili, cheese, and onion. If you want it five way, add kidney beans, and for some crunch, throw on a hand of oyster crackers. And for some fun, if I can get this in, the magic of vanilla. There's more to this baking staple than you think. We'll never understand why the word vanilla has come to mean plain, because it's actually one of the most complex spices on the planet. The vanilla flower blooms just one day a year, and the vanilla bean needs up to 9 months to mature. Then it still has to be cured, which can take another 5 or 6 months before the seeds are ready to be extracted. It's an incredibly labor-intensive process, which is why, ounce for ounce, vanilla is the second most expensive spice. Saffron is number one. Nevertheless, more professional bakers will tell you that it's worth every penny. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and I hope you enjoyed this January edition of Flavor.